Benedict's four-day state visit to Germany this week marks the third time he returns to his homeland since his election to the papacy. It promises to be a very busy visit, with the Pope attending 28 different events and pronouncing no fewer than 17 speeches over the next 4 days. Our correspondent who will be covering this papal visit is Veronica Scarisbrick. I sat down with her just before her departure for Berlin to find out more about the main themes of this papal visit and talk about where he will be going and what he will be doing during his 4 days in Germany.
Well, before I start talking about the themes, I'd like to say that this is his first state visit. The previous two trips back home, which you talk about, were in 2005, World Youth Day in Cologne, which he picked up from his predecessor, the See of Peter, John Paul II. And then, a year later, his personal pilgrimage to Bavaria, where he grew up and where he later became Archbishop. Going back to the trip itself, the organisation of it, this is a very complex and charged visit, both in terms of content and logistics. Just think, Susie, 28 events and 17 speeches.
That's a lot in 4 days.
And then it takes him all around Germany, because he begins in the capital, Berlin, and then he goes south, east to Erfurt, which was in former Eastern Europe, is the land of Luther, and then southwest to Freiburg, perhaps the most Catholic part of the trip, if you wish.
And he's also going to be having a series of meetings of an interfaith and ecumenical nature, isn't he? Can you tell us something about that?
Yes, this visit, which, as I said, has as theme where God is, there is the future, is tied to new evangelization. There's a synod coming up in the autumn here in the Vatican, and it's almost like the Pope wanted to lead up to this on his own home turf. As we know, he's passionate about this theme. He likes to break down barriers between people, whether Catholics or non-Catholics. So there's a strong ecumenical and interfaith leitmotiv to the visit. Clearly, he'd be meeting Protestants. Well, you know, the Protestants and Catholics have the lion's share of religion in Germany, so to speak. But he'd also be meeting with the Orthodox, Jewish representatives and Muslim representatives. The latter two he'll be meeting with in Berlin.
He's also due to meet, of course, as you say, given that this is a state visit, with the German political leaders and even a former German Chancellor, Helmut Kohl. What are likely to be some of the themes that could be touched on during those encounters?
Well, I have no idea, Susie, but obviously he's very keen to stress Europe's Christian roots. One of the things that he'll be doing is speaking at the Bundestag, the federal parliament's lower house. And as I say, you know, he might speak about the national identity of Germans, but who knows? This marks the third time a pope addresses parliament, so it's a bit of a historical event. The only previous such occasions were with Pope John Paul II in Warsaw and in Rome.
Do we know the reasons why he is meeting the former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl? Is there a special reason behind this?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, actually, because it's the Pope who wished to meet with the former federal Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Of course, he was the man who architected the reunification process in Germany in 1990, and he was also instrumental in promoting Europe back in Germany, but also with François Mitterrand, the French president.
These cities where after Berlin he's going to Erfurt and Freiburg, they're not particularly well known outside Germany. Is there any particular reason why he's going there?
No, I think that Erfurt for tourists in our Western world is slightly off the map because it was in former Eastern Germany. The reason we know about Erfurt, perhaps most of all, is because it was evangelized by St. Boniface, the Anglo-Saxon missionary, in 742. But this time, of course, the Pope is meeting with representatives of the EKD, an umbrella group for the Reformed, United and Lutheran churches, simply because Erfurt is where Luther lived and worked. And the timing is especially significant, as in 2017 there's a special anniversary coming up, 5 centuries since the Reformation began.
And what about Freiburg? Why has he chosen to go there? Do we know?
Freiburg is yet again a completely different venue. It's perhaps of all the places that the Pope visits, Berlin is a bit of a pagan city, they say. Erfurt is well known because Luther lived there. But although it has a Catholic slant to it because it's where the Catholics in eastern Germany kept the faith alive. But perhaps the most Catholic of these, the perception that Freiburg is the most Catholic of these. In fact, he has a lot of ecclesial meetings there. He'll be meeting with representatives of the Central Committee of German Catholics, a group which wields great influence in Germany. There are the members of the committee are active in moral, social and ethical debate, expressing their Christian convictions and their application to issues of a political and social dimension. Their perception of political and social responsibility goes so far as to take a critical position in terms of legal development and in debating the passing of new laws. The striking thing is that the Central Committee does this in ecumenical collaboration and even with other social forces such as the trade unions.
Now, as you say, there's many, many events, but on Friday there's going to be a prayer vigil with young people in Freiburg. Do we know what are likely to be the themes that could be touched on? What are some of the sort of burning issues as far as young people within the German church are concerned?
Well, I mean, Germany is a very secular, has a very secular society, so I think it's the same kind of themes that other young people have in Europe. But I think the significant thing is that the Pope basically ends his journey in Freiburg. And, of course, young people are the future. And the theme of the journey is where God is, there is the future.
Sunday being the final day of his trip, and he's going to be celebrating an open-air mass before taking his leave of his homeland. Is this likely to be the biggest event where we see the most people?
No, I think, obviously, we'll see the most people in Berlin, also because it's so close to Poland. German Catholics have made a point of organising at a diocesan level to go to the mass in Berlin from all parts of Germany. So not only will you have a German contingent, but you'll also have Polish faithful. Let's recall how Berlin is only 80 kilometres from Poland.
Indeed, it's very close.
So then that will be a mass at the Olympia Stadion in Berlin.
Well, as I mentioned before, Veronica, this is the Pope's third trip to Germany since he became Pope. But is there any particular theme or any reason why this particular period was chosen for this visit?
Well, it's curious you should ask that, Susie, because it's actually not tied to a specific occasion or anniversary. It's actually something the Pope's been wanting to do for the past 6 years. He wanted to go back home on a state visit as opposed to the previous two which we talked about earlier. And it comes at a complex moment in Germany's history. There's a complex political scenario, as you know, partly connected to the European currency. And also at an ecclesial level, there are internal tensions within the Catholic Church. A curiosity, Susie, the Pope's entourage will have a German imprint to it and will include, I think, almost all of his closest advisers from the Vatican, who are fellow nationals, beyond the usual entourage.